Heretic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Kevin Walsh here. The Kevin Walsh Show, a Sports Grid podcast. Long time no see, but we are in the mix here as it is Super Bowl 60 week. The New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks. So here's the deal. Just kind of a full programming note, if you will. Game Time Decisions, where you can catch me Monday through Friday. This week is just going to be pro football today, really just NFL all the time, which I'm looking forward to. It'll be me and Lisi, but I didn't want to be too far removed from the slate. That's what we do every single night. We talk games, best bets, and I thought this would kind of be a great way to get me back in the mix here on the Kevin Walsh Show. So the plan is not going to take up too much of your days, but actually be here every single day this week, Monday through Friday, get right back into the swing of things, kind of as we should, where I'll go over my best bets for the night. We'll talk Super Bowl, any NFL news, really. And I think it's a good, spot because, of course, the Super Bowl is the biggest deal. There are still a lot of sports stories going on. The NBA trade deadline is this week. So we will do all of that here on the podcast. Tonight, the best games are probably Clippers-Sixers, and then college hoops-wise, certainly Texas Tech and Kansas. Darren Peterson is the big story, and that is where we will start. What I will do, though, because it is Super Bowl week, after I just go through the games that are tonight, what my bets are, two picks, that's where I'm at right now. If I add anything else at the Kevin Walsh, I will be sure, positive, to tweet it out. You guys know that. But there are two picks for tonight. What I will do after these games, though, is I will let you know the Super Bowl bets I've made so far. I have three bets so far that I have locked in for Pat Seahawks. So we'll do that. I want to start, though, with Texas Tech and Kansas. If you look right now at the numbers for this game, it is hard to tell how much the books are expecting Darren Peterson to play. A 4.5-point number for Texas Tech, I feel, says he is not playing. However, in states where you can bet college basketball player props, they are posting Darren Peterson numbers. You know, checks in at a 20-plus price. The, you know, kind of setup that we are often accustomed to within the college player props, I guess depending on your book, you know, is are they offering over and under? And on FanDuel, at least, they are throwing you an under 19.5 with Peterson, which, remarkably, in the game against BYU, Peterson scored 18 first-half points, and you would have been good money on that under because Darren Peterson, even when he plays this season, has not been a guarantee to play the full way. And I will let people know because the fair play, you know, hey, if your guy is injured in the first quarter, first half, you're going to get your money back, has become very common. I think it's a good thing that the sports books do with the player props. It does not apply to college at any of your books. That's not a FanDuel thing. That is Fanatics, DraftKings. As far as I can tell, that does not apply to the college game. So do be careful with that. And again, it makes Darren Peterson tricky. And it makes Kansas basketball very tricky. I've been talking to people, you know, at work or just, you know, people who follow the college game closely. And for a while, I've talked about a willingness or a desire, really, to bet Kansas to win the national championship. And it's a desire that is capped or basically non-existent if I'm not going to get Darren Peterson out there in the tournament. Because Kansas cannot win the national championship without Darren Peterson. I actually think this team is better for the time Peterson missed. I think a lot of the offensive weapons around Peterson flourished, and it's made this a much deeper team. Melvin Council specifically had some monster games. There was the crazy overtime game against NC State where he knocked down 9 threes. You know, Flory Badunga, obviously Trey White's kind of the team's leading scorer, so they've given themselves a couple of outs in these games, and it's why they're able to still win games without Peterson. But being a true national title contender, I think it is a requirement that their best player plays. The crazy thing is, Peterson, when you watch him, is easily one of the five best college basketball players when he plays. Some would argue the best because he is right now the favorite to be the first overall pick when June comes around. Certainly a topic we'll dive into more on the podcast when the time comes. We don't have to get into it right now, but that is at least the expectation around Peterson. But what is so difficult with this entire Darren Peterson situation for me is there are a lot of people who are now tired of Peterson and the injuries and the shut it down nature of it all, if you will. And there's an element that I understand, right? In that Peterson went out there, was by far and away the best player on the court in the first half against BYU, scored 18, his team led 53-33, and seemingly just was like, all right, that's that, right? He wasn't, there was no work being done on Peterson on the sideline. There was not a, he was not looking to get back into that game, and because what, you know, this is what BYU does. I mean, there were moments that lead was under single digits, and in fact, it actually, or double digits, was under double digits, and it closed eight, right? You know, you could argue it was never that close, but you could also argue it would have never been anything if Peterson had just been able to play in the second half. And it's, you know, tricky because it appears Peterson's agent is involved in the entire thing, perhaps, or, you know, could his parents be involved? I don't know. But I'm going to defend Darren Peterson, you know, and maybe I'll be on an island here. Everyone keeps, oh, he doesn't like playing. He doesn't want to play. Just go load manage somewhere else. Darren Peterson is the number one overall pick for most people before the BYU game. And certainly after the BYU game. And honestly, he was probably the number one overall pick without even playing at Kansas. That's just what the perception around Peterson is. Again, I don't actually know if he'll go first because of Boozer and Dibonsas and their talent and things of the nature and just positional value. But that is where the consensus is right now. So Darren Peterson going out there and playing, I don't know, it kind of reads like somebody who wants to play basketball. To me, somebody who wants to compete at Kansas and win at a high level. Why the heck else is he out there? Does his contract stipulate he must play in, you know, 20 career games as a Jayhawk? By the way, the NIL money that he is getting from Kansas, irrelevant. Hundreds of millions of dollars await him in the NBA. The Kansas money is not enough to force him out onto that court. So there's clearly a desire. I know it's frustrating that we don't get to watch what could very well be the best player in the country with regularity. I share that frustration. Again, this team is really good. But I just feel as if right now the adults in the room are not adulting, and I think that includes the Kansas side. Why does Bill Self keep putting Peterson back out there if he's not healthy? I don't get it. And maybe you're listening to this and saying it's because he is healthy, and everyone knows he's healthy, but they get scared in the middle of these games and they pull him back. Okay, but then, look, we've done enough, right? Before February begins, we can all agree a 16-5 BYU is in the tournament. right? So, and I know it's a little too NBA-esque, right, to just, hey, gear up for the postseason, but this is where Kansas is. Playing Darren Peterson every other game for 25 minutes at a time is not smart. That is not in Kansas's best interest, right? If Darren Peterson or Darren Peterson's agent or whomever is putting his best interest at first, right? And we feel bad for Kansas. What I would say is Kansas isn't doing what's best for Kansas. I don't think it would be a misread to say Peterson would love to play in March. He answered the bell in that game against Dibonsa. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was a game in which, as somebody who, heading into the game, if you made me do a 1-2-3, would have given you Boozer, Dibonsa, Peterson. Yes, I know I'm crazy, Peterson 3. Left that game feeling silly. Peterson outscored Dibonsa in playing just one half. Dibonsa landed at 17 in the final. He wants to be out there for the biggest moments, obviously. And we cannot be silly enough to think that Kansas would not want him out there for the NCAA tournament. So why do you keep putting him out there? I don't get it at all. Like, I understand you need to build continuity. I think it's built. It's just, I don't know, man. Like, they're going to Texas Tech tonight. I don't know why he's playing, if he is playing. It just is weird. They'll play Utah at home. They're going to be favored by 20. He should not be on the floor. He just shouldn't be. Give him the, you know what? You don't give him the week off before Arizona. But also tell him, like, you're not playing Arizona and Iowa State to just not be healthy. Take 3 weeks. You're clearly close enough that 3 weeks should be plenty. And then we host Houston. We're going to need you for that game. You're going to go head-to-head with top 10 pick Kingston Flemings. We're going to need you. Be ready. I think that's reasonable. So it's a fascinating situation. I'm a bit on an island in that I feel for Peterson of it all. I understand being frustrated maybe with the agents and things of that on the nature, but I think Kansas is really, you know, skirting out on any blame here because it doesn't seem like they're handling it at all. Like, be a big boy program. Step in and make some decisions here with this whole thing. Now, speaking of making decisions on this game, I would look towards Texas Tech and the under. I'm ultimately going to pass on both because I think, one, the Peterson stuff throws things into disarray quite mightily. It's right now, you know, it's a 12:45 on the East Coast if you're listening to this. I don't know any official word on if Peterson is going to play. I find these Kansas totals often to be super high. I think this total is probably so high because Texas Tech a week ago played Houston in a game that had 176 points. But it did have 176 points. Now, they shot outrageous from three, but at home, off a loss, could that be loading? It could. What I think is loading is a really big Christian Anderson game. Anderson is not a part of the freshman class, but a sophomore with lottery potential in his own right. He is top three in the country in assists per game and nearly a 20-point-per-game score. However, he is coming off of consecutive performances where he was underneath 19, underneath 20, and that has not been with regularity for Anderson since his scoring has really elevated throughout the season. Now, there are books out there where you're getting profit boosts, and depending on your allowance on those boosts, you could go 18-plus for Anderson at, you know, and land in the minus 105 range, and you'd probably be happy with that if that's enough that you want to get down. But the real number, if you will, here for Christian Anderson is 19-plus points over the 18.5, and that's what I'm going to play here. Anderson on the season averages over 20 a game at home, shooting 45% from three. He is in a clear and obvious bounce back spot to me, especially from beyond the arc. Over the last two games, just 4 of 15. In the prior games, he was 6 of 11, 4 of 10, 8 of 10, scoring at least 22 in all three of those matchups. I think we see something a little more similar to that. And honestly, if Peterson's out there, I think it could be a boost for the bet, as Anderson would, I think, gladly take on the matchup and the moment and the opportunity to make a bit of a statement here in the game against the Jayhawks. So I like Christian Anderson over 18.5 points. It's my favorite way to get involved with the College Board. As far as the NBA, oh, by the way, UNC Syracuse, it's an interesting one. Cuse is probably a bit better than the record suggests. Defensively, they're all right, but you're paying for a price, right? Like, you're getting 11.5. I don't think it's a ton because the results, like I said, for Syracuse, like, I feel like they're better, but the results are not there. And, you know, losing by 9 at home to Miami does not look very good. Getting 20 piece by NC State does not look very good. And this is a North Carolina team that kind of has their head down since that nightmare of a West Coast trip against Stanford, against Cal. So I'm not going to get in front of UNC in that game. And really not much else doing on the College Board outside of that. NBA-wise, since I told you what time it is, there is a Hornets-Pelicans game, the greatest team of all time, the Charlotte Hornets, a 7.5-point favorite. I'm not getting involved there. Too many injury questions, actually, even in Minnesota-Memphis and Clippers-Sixers. Clippers are on the second leg of a back-to-back. There's going to be a Kawhi All-Star Game snub angle that people want to play. I mean, look, it's really interesting, right? We see All-Star Game snubs all the time. I'm curious how much the Kawhi stuff is availability. I mean, he's played 35 games of 48 Clipper games. So I think that could be something, but obviously then that's going to put an eye right on LeBron, right, who's played 31 games for the Lakers out of 48. And, you know, was it a decision between LeBron and Kawhi? Because that's what a lot of people are focused on. But the people who believe Kawhi should have made it don't believe he was, like, the last guy in. More so, he should have been at closer to a starter, if anything, is kind of the belief for people around Kawhi in the season that he's having. You have all that Pablo Torre stuff. The All-Star game is literally in the Clippers' home arena. It's weird that Kawhi didn't make it, is what I would say. Like, I think people are going to make this a LeBron thing because it's an opportunity to have a LeBron thing, and people love that opportunity. I'm not saying LeBron was, like, clearly an all-star this year. This is going to sound crazy. I admittedly haven't dived, like, much into who's earned it and whatnot, but I actually don't know if I didn't really want to see LeBron get what was, like, a honorary all-star game. Because I don't want anything to get wonky with the numbers. I don't want people to then rewrite history and say, oh, he hadn't deserved his last 4 or 5 All-Star games. LeBron has deserved every single All-Star game he's had. Again, maybe this one is debatable. But to me, again, like, the story is a little bit more Kawhi and the snub, and it's such a bizarre one. Because usually they like the opportunity to get a guy from the home arena in the game. You know, there was a lot of stuff with Kawhi and the Clippers, right, this offseason, and it makes you wonder. It makes you wonder.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus, terms and conditions apply.
What I am going to bet tonight in the NBA, it's in Pacers-Rockets. It's a spot where you kind of expect Houston to handle business. The Pacers have paired together a couple of results here, winning 3 of their last 4, including that upset at Oklahoma City. They're getting a little bit healthier, this Pacers team. The Rockets have played 2 without Kevin Durant. They're going to play their 3rd tonight without KD. They've won each game. I think more importantly, Amen Thompson has really stepped up to the plate. Careful on the Şengün numbers. He's actually not been, you know, he's not stuffed that stat sheet as much as you would expect in a game where Durant's missed. Thompson has, but I specifically want to play the 14.5 rebounds and assists. Thompson scoring-wise, it's still a little inconsistent. One of the games without KD, he scored 28. Another one, he scored 10. So I could easily cook the books and be like, he's averaging 19 a game without Durant, but that's actually very misleading. And with Thompson, whose last four games, simple as looks like this, 21, 9, 25, 8, I'm good. If he was coming off of one of the 8 or 9s, I'd be interested. He's not. He's, though, right now in a very, very good rhythm with his assists. He's averaging over 7.5 a game over his last 8 games, including a 14-assist performance in there. He's more than due for a double-digit rebound game, and he cleared this number in each game that KD missed. So I think you've got a really good shot tonight where people will likely be eyeing up Alperen Şengün, and it's really Amen Thompson, who just plays 40 minutes every night, like regardless too, which is just the way the Rockets are, and it's kind of the way he is, and only his second season and what he's able to give these guys. So without Durant, I don't see why that number would be any lower. I mean, one of the games he played, they didn't play without Durant. They won by 22, and he still played 37 minutes. So I feel good about Amen Thompson over the 14.5 rebounds plus assists. Those are the two bets that I have for tonight. Again, it's not a huge card. You know, if you're looking to bet, if you're an NHL bettor, you are in luck. It's a longer slate tonight. I have tried to dabble in the NHL slate a few times this year to very, very bad results. So I'll leave that alone. What I will do quickly before we close out this Monday episode of the Kevin Walsh Show, again, plan is to be here every single day this week in the lead up to the Monday through Friday, okay? In the lead up to the Super Bowl. I want to just set the stage of the bets that I've made so far in the Super Bowl. The first is simple. I am on New England plus 5. I think this number is too far. I think that these have been closer to even football teams throughout the season. I understand that Seattle gets a lot of credit for slaughtering San Francisco in the way that they did. That was a zombie squad that they got to play. I give them credit for it. It's just more of an indictment on the Eagles than anything else. I understand that the Seahawks get a ton of credit for beating a team like the Los Angeles Rams, but the ball was moved again on the Seahawks defense when they played an offense of the caliber of the Rams. Well, offensive EPA, the Patriots finishes the number one offense in football. Matt Stafford's likely going to win MVP. Drake May's going to finish second with plenty of first place votes. I think New England can move it. New England's path to getting here is silly. Herbert and the Chargers were lifeless offensively. Stroud was a total mess this postseason and has put people, you know, in a spot to question his future with the organization, which never felt possible. When you've got a guy who, by the way, is not just 3-for-3 in making the playoffs, but winning a playoff game. That's how bad Stroud was this season. And then you play Stidham and the Broncos, and I fully believe that Bo Nix wins that football game. There's not a doubt in my mind that Bo Nix wins that football game. But ultimately, the Patriots defense took advantage of the situation, and the Pats didn't go overly prideful in the game, right? They knew the way for them to lose was to hand that game over in a way that you could argue Denver did. Most people focus on a 4th-and-1 decision to throw a flat route to RJ Harvey. I focus on Jared Stidham throwing the football on the ground, it being called a fumble, and giving the Patriots their only touchdown drive. And Drake May played a clean game. A bad game, but a clean game. And I think some of the New England numbers are depressed because they consistently looked across the field in not ideal weather conditions, saw their offensive opponent had nothing for them, and they kept things a bit closer to the vest. And I don't think you'll see that as much in the Super Bowl. So I really like the Patriots at plus 5. I will be betting them almost assuredly again at plus 4.5. But I played that plus 5 on the night that the Super Bowl was set. So that is the number that I'm in at. But again, I anticipate playing the 4.5 again. Just people I've spoke to think it's more likely we get back to a 5 than kind of down to like a 3.5 or anything like that. So, and we'll kind of track that movement. The other two bets that I've placed are pass catcher based. One of them is actually really simple. So, and I actually placed this today. It's a minus 138 on FanDuel. It's in the receiving tab. I will say I can't seem to get the tab on my laptop. I can get it on my phone. So if you're having issues finding the markets, just maybe try the mobile version. But it's any player to have 100-plus yards at minus 138, yes. I know you're going to be like, wait, you can get JSN for 100-plus at plus 114. I understand that. I'll pay the extra juice to bring the entire game into the field. Recent Super Bowl history, I think it's 8 of the last 9. I think it's 13 of the last 15. It's just guys get 100 yards, both sides of the field. The year that the Rams made it the Cooper Kupp Offensive Player of the Year, what would be this, you know, equal to the JSN, if you, you know, I'm drunk, that Cooper Kupp season was out of control, but I'm saying that would be the equivalent. Cooper Kupp didn't get 100. The bet won. T. Higgins did. And again, you went, there's no Higgins. Kupp and Ja'Marr Chase didn't get 100 yards, and the bet won. Last year, the Eagles didn't have a 100-yard receiver. Don't worry, Xavier Worthy had a 157. It's just, again, it's probably going to be JSN. Like, I tend to believe that JSN in the Super Bowl is going to go for 100. You know, I don't think that's crazy. Went for 153 against the Rams. In the biggest games, you can usually expect JSN to step up, and that's exactly what we've got here, right? But I'll take the flip and juice to give me a chance that Stephon Diggs does something he's done 5 or 6 times this year. Pop Douglas has a 100-yard game. Mac Hollins has a 100-yard game this season. So at minus 138, something that happens in nearly every Super Bowl for a decade and a half, I think it's a fantastic bet. I think it's a fantastic bet. Probably talking myself to putting in a little bit more. My favorite bet so far, I know it's going to be a little bit wonkier, but it's over 6.5 Patriots to catch a pass. So I always find these markets incredibly fun. I take the time to cap the markets before they release the odds because I think I can. And I thought the patch number would be, so I bet over 6.5 at minus 174. I think you can find like a minus 180 out there. I think that's still good because I think it should be 7.5 at a minus price. There are 5 what I categorized as locks to catch a pass, and the books tend to agree. They all have reception props that start at 2+ or more. Hollins, Diggs, Booty, Henry, Stevenson. So if we've got 5 in the door, well, how many other guys can we get? Well, we've got Kyle Williams, Pop Douglas, Trevion Henderson, and Austin Hooper. And it might sound silly that I started with Kyle Williams because he's plus 102 to catch a ball. Well, the other 3 are all minus prices, including minus 300s on Austin Hooper and Pop Douglas. I've gone through the Patriots' full season results in this market just to see, you know, hey, maybe I'm, you know, a little off here. It went under 20 games. Okay, 4 times. It landed bang 7, 8 times. And it went for 8 or more another 8 times, postseason included. Drake May has caught a ball this year. It's the Super Bowl. Why not? I'm just saying, I think it finishes with 8 or more guys to catch a pass on the New England Patriots. I do. And it's my favorite bet that I play so far for the Super Bowl. I'm excited for the Super Bowl. I think it's going to be fun. I'm excited to watch it. I'm excited to bet it. And that's why I'm going to continue to kind of, you know, pepper in the more these markets materialize. And there's a couple of things that I'm waiting to see if they post. I'm wondering if they'll post a total players to record a rush. Individually, it's 4.5 Seattle plus and then 3.5 New England plus. I'm just curious if they'll post a combo number. But we'll see. And we're going to continue to get involved with that game. Some touchdown scores, you know, quarterback numbers that are out there that look good. I'll remind people, the books are going to be stepping up profit boost-wise. I know DK said today at like 5 p.m. they're going to do their happy hour boost. So I'm looking forward to all of it. I am, and I'm looking forward to hanging out with you on the Kevin Walsh Show this week. Don't forget, Christian Anderson over the 18.5 points in Texas Tech, Kansas at what would be a baseline minus 105. And then Amen Thompson over 14.5 rebounds plus assists at about plus 105. But always look around, see if you can get some good boosts out there and get in the mix. And if you need any more, you check me out on Twitter at The Kevin Walsh. This is The Kevin Walsh Show, a Sports Grid podcast. We'll see you next time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.